Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dearly beloved, 40 years is a long time. If you don't believe me, consider the following facts. In 1977, Jimmy Carter was sworn in as the 39th President of the United States. The U.S. returned the Panama Canal back to Panama. NASA's first space shuttle, the Enterprise, made its first test flight. The first Atari gaming system was released in America. The median household income was $13,500 per year. A gallon of gas cost 62 cents, a postage stamp, 13 cents. Star Wars, the original, was the highest grossing film of the year. Saturday Night Fever sparked a disco movement. Laverne and Shirley was the most watched television show. The TV miniseries Roots drew record audiences. Elvis Presley died in his home at Graceland. And the Chicago Cubs had not won a World Series in nearly seven decades. While each of those things is noteworthy, there is something even greater that happened in 1977, something that has escaped notice by most in our world. For in 1977, the triune God gathered a small group of saints around his gospel purely preached and his sacraments rightly administered, and he formed this congregation. While we rightly thank God this day for the faithful men and women who founded Divine Shepherd, and all those since who have been generously giving of their time, their talents, and their treasures to the support of the ministry here. We also rightly acknowledge that what brought this house of God into existence and nurtured it all these years was not ultimately our forefathers or you and me, but rather our gracious Lord himself. No wonder we raise our voices this day and joyously exclaim with St. Peter, "Lord, it is good that we are here." On any other day, at any other time, Jesus looked just like any other human being to Peter. When Peter was there on the Mount of Transfiguration, though, he saw something he had never seen before. Not the Jesus of everyday life. Not the Jesus who wore no halo, nor the Jesus who did not always or fully use his divine power. But on this particular mountain, on this particular day, all the fullness of God's glory was shining forth, full force, through the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. What Peter was seeing was a transfigured Jesus, a face shining like the sun, Jesus, a clothes as white as light, Jesus, a surrounded by Moses and Elijah, Jesus, a filled with the majesty of God's glory, Jesus. No wonder Peter exclaimed, "Lord, it is good that we are here." He even wanted to pitch some tents and stay on that mountain forever. But as he was still speaking those words, a bright cloud overshadowed the disciples, and a voice from that cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Ever since the fall into sin, God has not been well pleased with any human being. That's because sin makes you and me repulsive, offensive, vile. Sin separates us from the triune God who is holy, holy, holy. Sin leads only to bad, never to good, only to death, never to life. That's why today's holy gospel is so remarkable. It tears back the veneer of what we think is normal, our sinfulness, our short-sightedness when it comes to God's glory, our inability to be well-pleasing to our Father in heaven. And it replaces that with the righteousness and holiness and perfection of God's own Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus not only lacked sin, but he is the very embodiment of love. He came down from God to man, being God and man, to reconcile God with man. What's more, the glory of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration pointed forward to a greater glory on another mountain. As Jesus sat with his disciples in the upper room after giving them his body and blood, he prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." Hours later, when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, he drew all people to himself and glorified his Father by redeeming mankind, by justifying sinners, by dying as the Lamb of God in our stead. In Jesus, and only in Jesus, is sinful humanity once again pleasing to God the Father. That's why the Father exclaims, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard these words, they fell on their faces and were terrified. Can we blame them? But look at what the Father's Son did at that time. Jesus came and touched them and said, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Jesus only. Ever since our congregation was founded, there has been a little sign up here in the pulpit, tucked away where only the preacher can see it. This sign reminds the pastor what his sacred task it is. It reads, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Divine Shepherd exists to show you Jesus, to give you Jesus, to wash Jesus over you at the font, to fill your ears with Jesus' words of forgiveness, to place Jesus' true body and blood into your mouth, and to embrace you with the love of Jesus Christ. That's why the Father calls you to this mountaintop each and every Lord's Day and says to you, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Heed that invitation, dear friends. Listen and learn. Repent and believe. Eat and drink. Study and pray. Be who Christ has called you to be, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Which is to say, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Live from every word that proceeds from God's mouth. Forgive others as you have first been forgiven. Love and serve your neighbor with joy. And pray for those who persecute you. And when you fail, and you will daily, find your forgiveness and your strength in this same Jesus Christ. Fill your ears with the very word that is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. For that word is strong to save, granting you humility when you are puffed up with conceit, taming your tongue when you want to gossip and tear down, reminding you to value heavenly treasures over earthly treasures, giving you strength in your weakness, guiding you home when you are lost, lifting you up when you have fallen from the weight of your sin, and imparting grace to help you bear that appointed cross. Do all this with joy, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for the same Jesus who was transfigured on the mountain has promised to transfigure you on the last day, when he will transform your lowly body, writes Paul, to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Thus, it is in humility and repentance, in faith and joy, that we gather here this afternoon before the one true God and thank him for 40 years of his dwelling with us, 40 years of his grace, 40 years of him seeking and saving the last, the least, and the lost. 40 years of his gospel invitation. 40 years of him baptizing sinners at this font. 40 years of him admitting catechumens to his holy supper at this rail. 40 years of him joining husbands and wives together at this altar. 40 years of wiping away tears that you've shed when you laid to rest a loved one. 40 years of him feeding and nourishing you on your pilgrimage through this life. 40 years of drawing us together as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and giving us to each other to know and to love. What else is there for us to say this day but to echo the words of St. Peter, "Lord, it is good that we are here. Abide with us today and always with your grace and your mercy." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord.